We have a special guest in the studio. He is Congressman Don Manzullo from the 16th Congressional District in the great state of Illinois. We have limited time with the congressman, should you have questions or comments for Congressman Manzullo, take advantage of our time at 815-874-8255. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Ken. The got an announcement here on November 4th.
2 days after election.
2 days after the election, I put together with GE and what we call the GE actually had some coffee, but it's pretty bad.
Well, welcome to Maverick Media.
Well, okay. The GE Aviation Small Business Supplier Symposium. GE, as you know, bought out Smith's Aerospace about 3 years ago over in the park. And about 2 weeks ago, I was in Washington, maybe 3 weeks ago, and ran into the president of GE Aerospace. And he was talking about tremendous workers that we have, the great machinists, and he said that they've actually closed a facility in Thailand and moved that manufacturing back to Rockford. And I said, whoa!
Excellent.
I said, you know, we're going the right direction. And I said, do you need suppliers? He said, we need them desperately. So we put out the notice to probably 2,000 manufacturers in the Rock River and Fox River Valley. And they can come on November 4th. There's no charge. They can go to the RAEDC website,
okay. Sign
up, and there'll be one-on-one matches. And we hope people can actually leave with contracts.
Clearly, the economy is the issue in the midterm elections campaign. From your perspective, what more can and should Congress do to facilitate the creation of jobs in the private sector?
Ken, I think, I don't like to quote Janulius, but he was right yesterday when he said the president should have been concentrating on the creation of jobs and not pushing through health care, cap and trade, and the other items on the agenda. And I've got just seven things I'm going to throw out real quickly.
All right.
You have to stop the excessive spending. The spending is slowing the recovery. It's going to precipitate inflation. We can't raise taxes. I mean, this is what the employers tell me, the ones that want to hire, because there's so much uncertainty. They don't even know what their taxes are going to be come next year. So how could you possibly plan to hire people if you don't know what your tax rate is going to be? Because what you would pay your employees, you have to pay your own personal income taxes. We have to stop the administration's efforts to impose a carbon tax. That's a job killer. We have to repeal Obamacare. You can't do it in pieces. So what we're going to have to do is to slow it down through the appropriations process and at the same time institute methods that will work, such as allowing small businesses to gather together and join a big purchasing pool. We have to have targeted tax cuts so that manufacturers will have the ability to buy a new piece of machinery as opposed to paying taxes. That increases productivity. And we have to enforce our trade laws on where they pirate intellectual property, currency manipulation, and subsidies. That buzzed right through it. You can spend a long time on each one, but I don't want to take that much time.
Jake, you're on NTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Good morning, Jake.
Yes, good morning.
Hi, Jake.
Morning, Don. You're for Amtrak, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, but in your ad, you say you're for smaller government. So how can you be for smaller government and then back Amtrak, which is a losing situation, and it's just more government jobs?
Well, first of all, I believe that transportation is a vital part of our economy. We have interstate commerce. The Constitutional Convention was reconvened from Baltimore for the purpose of standardizing the locks along the navigable waters, and our country's always had a major interest in transportation. Second of all, a lot of that money that's for Amtrak comes out of the motor vehicle fuel tax. And so that becomes actually a part of our transportation system. And in many areas of the country, Amtrak takes a lot of people off the roads, makes it a lot easier to travel, and gets people from one place to the other without clogging the roads. So I believe it's a vital constitutional issue. Even though it does lose money, there isn't one passenger service a company in the world that's not subsidized by the government because it's so expensive.
But that doesn't make it right.
Well, it's just important. I mean, if you use Amtrak to keep people off the roads, that means that you have to spend less money on the roads because you can only make them so wide and the lanes so fast. But I'm the most fiscally conservative member of the Illinois delegation. Out of 21 members of Congress from Illinois, I spend less than anybody else. So I'm pretty cheap. But when it comes to infrastructure, that's absolutely important for not only economic growth, but to move the people, which to me is a constitutional function.
So I'm driving through all these potholes so that people can ride the train.
No, potholes should be fixed.
I mean, fix them because they don't have the motor fuel tax money.
Well, 2 years ago, about every 5 years we have a road bill. And the leadership in the House refused to have a road bill this year because they wanted to come up with a tax increase. And a lot of people said, no, we're not interested in a tax increase. Let's have the road bill. If we had had the road bill, which would be about $300 billion, which would go directly to infrastructure, you wouldn't have things such as the stimulus, because the road bill would be paid for with motor vehicle taxes. The stimulus went directly to the deficit. Plus, the road bill would have put us back to work again and fixed our roads.
I understand that, but if we would quit dumping motor fuel tax money into Amtrak, which doesn't pay for itself, and fix the roads and bridges, then we'd be a lot better off, and that would still create jobs, correct or incorrect?
Well, I think you need a balance.
That was a simple question, correct or incorrect?
Well, incorrect. I believe you could have good roads and a good transportation system with Amtrak at the same time. We just disagree on that.
Okay.
Thanks.
Hi, Marty. You're on WNTO with Congressman Don Manzullo. Good morning, Marty.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Real quick question for you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you hold small businesses feet to the fire if you give them a tax cut? How do you hold their feet to the fire to encourage them to hire more? The reason why I say that is I've known a few small businesses that if they got a tax cut, they would just plain keep it as a profit or keep it as a, keep it for themselves for an increase for their chairman of the board or something like that. And they did not hire anybody else onto their payrolls. I'm just wondering, how would you go along and hold small businesses feet to the fire to encourage them or to force them to hire more?
Well, most small businessmen don't have a chairman of the board. They have an owner or owners who are taxed individually through sub-S corporations and what are called LLC corporations. In other words, the business entity that's taxed are the people, are the individuals themselves. And there's been a tax credit for years. For a new hire, you hire somebody new, then you get a tax credit on that. But a lot of the tax credits for small business, for example, expensing machining and double bonus depreciation. If you buy a piece of machinery, then you have the option of either paying taxes or paying down on that machinery itself. I said it wrong. If you buy a piece of machinery, you get the depreciation, but you have to show on your federal income tax return that you did in fact buy the machinery in order to get the deduction itself.
Ben, you're on NTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Ben, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Congressman.
Hi.
Yes. I was wondering how you voted on the bill that would stop giving the tax breaks to the companies, the corporations that are outsourcing our jobs, and closing the loopholes that they have that are as they're outsourcing offshore.
Well, there was no bill to that effect. No, there was no bill that said what you said it would do.
Okay. Yeah. Now they did bring up they wanted to close this this loophole.
Well, it's okay. A loophole to some is a tax deduction to somebody else.
Where do you stand on the outsource, the stopping these corporations from outsourcing our
Well,
jobs?
Let me tell you what I did. Obviously, it's wrong. Let me tell you what I did. A few years ago, when I chaired the Small Business Committee, I led a forum of people, a group of people in Congress, where I fought my own party, so that if you manufacture in the United States today, you can get a 9% tax cut because you manufacture here as opposed to overseas. I also stopped from being repealed a law that allows the first $10 million in exports to be taxed at a dividends or capital gains rate as opposed to ordinary income. And so everything that I have done is to decrease taxes if you manufacture in the United States.
And that would be on top of their LLCs or their S-Corps, those breaks.
Well, they're two different things. If you are an LLC or an S-Corp, you're taxed individually, or if you're a corporation, you still get a tax deduction for manufacturing in the United States. That's what helped bring back GE Aerospace from Thailand to Rockford. They mentioned that specifically, that the environment has gotten a little bit better since that law was passed. And what I do is try to pass as many laws as possible that make it easier for the American manufacturer to be more competitive to keep the jobs here in the United States.
And Don, in closing here, I still think that you guys, if you're really serious about keeping jobs on our shores, you got to do something about the unfair advantage that these corporations are getting in their pursuit of cheaper labor at any cost, and that includes the disadvantaged workers over here on our shore.
And the only way to bring them back is to make the United States more competitive. And that comes along with decreasing the horrible amount of debt that we have going on. You can't pass a carbon tax, which chases manufacturing companies overseas. You can't have high income taxes on corporations or individuals because it dries up capital. And again, it's another reason why companies go overseas.
Don, $3 an hour overseas, if you look at Nike or any of these corporations, what they're paying their workers, and you try to pay that same thing here, is not going to work.
No, I understand that, but you can't pass a law that prohibits a company from moving manufacturing overseas any more than you can prohibit foreign companies from setting up operation here in Winnebago County. Let me give you an example.
Ben, thank you for your call, by the way.
Ipsen in Belvedere is a German-owned company, and they make the world's only portable vacuum heat treater. It sells for about $200,000. This is a German company, and it's a UAW shop, and about 90% of their product is exported. You take a look at the Danfoss in the Loves Park. That is a Danish company, has several hundred workers, and a huge amount of their top end, they make, for lack of a better word, electrical modulation machines, their top end machines are exported. Just all over. Chrysler is a foreign corporation.
Right.
I mean, it's owned by the Italians. And so you can't, it's difficult when a company goes overseas, and it's terrible, and sometimes it's reprehensible. Because they're being very short-sighted. But we are seeing more manufacturing coming back, not as fast as we like, but when GE Aviation contacted me and said that Rockford has been the recipient of a closed Thailand facility, they are committed to returning a lot of manufacturing from Asia back to the United States. And we're going to see that here in Rockford.
Eugene, thank you for holding. You're on WNTA with Congressman Don Manzullo.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, I'd like to thank you, Mr. Manzullo, for facing the fire and going on Rachel Maddow show. A lot of your Republicans will not do that. I don't know if they're scared of this lady or what.
No, you know what? She's
went on there.
She's a lot of fun.
Compliment for that.
Thank you.
Now, you said that they're waiting to see what taxes they're going to pay before they hire Americans at our businesses. You said that they're not hiring because they don't know what the taxes are.
That's so correct. That's one of the reasons.
They're just going to let Americans be out there unemployed and poverty rising. But by the way, this tax break has been in place 10 years. How many jobs have they created?
Well, it's hard to say. But when I talk to employers, I was over at Panera Bread, ran into somebody there, and I said, "How's business?" He said, "Well, it's kind of hard to tell." He said, "I want to add employees." He said, "But I don't know what the new health care bill is going to do to my business." He said, "I don't know what type of personal income tax rate I'm going to pay, because usually what I do is I take a huge amount of money and I pour it right back into the company hiring new employees." I mean, this is what the employers themselves are saying because of the uncertainty, and because of the uncertainty out there, everything's frozen, including credit.
Well, like I say, you didn't answer my question, but that's okay. Because I wanted to know how many jobs have been created in 10 years. They said they're waiting. It's been 10 years. They should be able, the business community should be able to show in those 10 years of that tax cut what good it has done to let them hire people.
Well, let me
that was my question.
All right, here's what
you can't answer, so I move on to my next.
Well, here,
my next question is.
Let me throw something in there. The part of that tax cut was anybody that has a child under 17 years old gets a $1,000 tax credit. If those tax cuts are not renewed, that will go to $500. So a family with four kids, you pay an extra $2,000 a year in income taxes.
My next question is, if we are so worried about the debt, why not let those tax cuts in for everybody, and that would help dramatically bring down the debt?
No.
As opposed to giving tax break, especially to the rich, Don, which we're going to have to pay for them. How are we going to pay for them? And my last question is this. Your constituents, who are Republicans, are saying the stimulus is such a failure and added to the debt. Rachel Maddow has done a great job of bringing papers on that was sent to Congress from Republicans asking for the stimulus. Now they're demonizing. You can't have it both ways, man.
Well,
thanks, Eugene.
If you think taking a family with three kids and increasing their taxes by $1,500 a year is going to add to the economy, then we're working from a different calculator.
Are you pressed for time? Can you hang around for a while?
I really can't.
All right, I'm going to try to get as many as possible. Leroy, you're on WNTA with Congressman Don Manzullo.
Good morning, Don.
Good morning, Leroy.
I have three questions. I'll hang up and listen to your answers. On the sanctuary cities, they're increasing their population base with illegals for political and financial gain at the taxpayers' expense. And number two, what are you doing to secure our borders to enforce our immigration laws? And number three, can you talk a little bit about E-Verify for employers?
Thanks.
Okay. E-Verify for employers, unfortunately, is only can be used once the employee has been hired, which is kind of dumb. In other words, you can't check on the status until after you've gone through the hiring process. That it's against the civil rights, believe it or not, of an applicant for an employer to ask whether or not he's legal. And so that's got to be changed. The second thing is, a sanctuary city such as Chicago and San Francisco are ignored by the They are ignored. At the same time, they're violating federal law. But states like Arizona get sued when they're trying to enforce federal law. And on the immigration laws, there has to be a serious person in charge of Homeland Security and at ICE, because every single one of the employees at ICE signed a petition saying that the director of ICE was more interested in providing sanctuary than enforcing immigration laws.
Jeff, you're on NTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Jeff, thank you for holding.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Mr. Manzullo, I heard you make a couple statements about private companies being able to, manufacture overseas if they choose to do so. I was wondering if you could give me maybe an explanation as to why you voted to allow companies like Sunstrand to move military manufacturing overseas to Singapore and places like that, when there were laws in place that stated they had to build those things within the United States.
Well, I got madder in hell at Hamilton Sunstrand when they closed down the magnesium machining facility here and moved it to Singapore. And they could do that under the laws. That's perfectly legitimate. But if you try to pass laws to prohibit American manufacturers from moving manufacturing overseas, then you'll be in the process of stopping foreign companies from establishing companies here in the United States. It becomes a two-way street. And we have probably about 16,000 manufacturing workers in our congressional district as a result of what's called foreign direct investment. It's unfortunate that Sunstrand did that, and it's still been a sore spot, even though we work with them on other issues.
Jim, you're on NTA with Congressman Manzullo. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, good morning, Congressman Manzullo.
Hi.
Hey, I actually own a small business. I'm president of the Midtown District, too, and I have an import business. We import handicrafts from overseas.
Good.
And, you're talking about efficiencies in the market and competitive advantages. One of the things I see as an example in my travels, and maybe you couldn't see what I'm saying too, is that one of the disadvantages we have in this country is aging infrastructure. Would you be in favor of changing the depreciation schedules to allow companies to get rid of these old labor-intensive infrastructures for more modern ones?
Oh, absolutely. Look at a roof, 39 and a half years depreciation on a roof.
Yeah, it's
well, outrageous.
I'm talking about, for example, I use voice over internet phone telephony 2 years in South America before it was available in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of telecommunication laws and also because there's older infrastructure in the way that had to get depreciated first, if you follow what I mean.
Any high technology thing like that, you should be able to expense. In other words, write it off your first year if you choose. Because some of those new technologies only have a lifespan of 1 year.
Sure, and you know when I was in Nepal the last time, the lady that ran the hostel had a nicer cell phone than I had. so you know we're talking about a country with a per capita income of $190 per year. So that's what I'm saying. I see some massive disadvantages to doing business in the United States the way the tax structure is set up right now.
Well, there's an article
in
Harvard Business Review. That Jack Becker just gave to me on the advantages of doing business in America and is it actually cheaper here. And there are a lot of people that are taking a look at what's going on overseas. GE told me, GE Aerospace, has a company with about 200 people,
yeah.
A branch of about 200 people in China. And they said that one of the reasons that they're moving back manufacturing to the United States and engineering that accompanies it is the fact that there is no mind as creative as the American mind, and that people that live in a totalitarian system like China simply can't think through beyond the strictures of their government and coming up with the new products and the new ideas. Plus, the United States has to remain as the number one leader in engineering, otherwise we're going to lose everything.
All right, one more, and then we'll let you go. Cheesehead, thank you for your call.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
Don, how are you, sir?
Well, you know what? Both the Bears and the Packers lost, so.
I have a couple of quick questions and a comment.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for what you do. I'm supporting you 100%.
Appreciate that.
And the caller that you attacked you a while ago, he attacked Jane Carroll on this very station Saturday morning in the same manner. If you try to explain something to a liberal that doesn't know what you're talking about, that's what you get. You get an attack. And that's exactly what he did to Jane Carroll Saturday morning. So, you know, there's 4 minutes of your life you'll never get back. Anyway, if you continue in office, are you going to fight for the people of Illinois to get rid of NAFTA and GATT? And what are we going to do about the illegal problem? Are you guys going to fight to get rid of that problem?
Well, let me take it one at a time.
I'll hang up.
Thanks.
Thank you. Back in 1993, a NAFTA was presented before the Congress. This was a Democratic initiative. It was Bill Clinton's bill. And Dick Durbin, who was in the House, voted for it. I voted for it, along with Paul Simon and Carol Moseley Braun. And NAFTA was set up on this basis. The average import duty on a U.S. part or U.S. product going to Mexico was 10%. And the average duty on a Mexican part coming to the United States was 4%. And so the whole purpose of NAFTA was to level that out so it would be 0-0 after 15 years because the Mexican tariffs were 2.5 times higher on U.S. goods than U.S. goods going to or coming to America. But it also did another thing local here. Before NAFTA, you could not export cars to Mexico. It wasn't allowed. That got put into it. The Chrysler plant here in Belvedere, for the month of July, exported nearly 1,000 automobiles to Mexico. Over 45% of their product is exported around the world, with a huge amount of that going to Mexico. That's about $20 million a month going to Mexico, and they're going to gear that up to about 2.5 times that amount once production starts, which will be about $600 million a year. That's a lot of money to be selling to Mexico. Through the automotive industry, because that doesn't count the number of people that are involved
in parts,
etc. And so you have to look at it on that basis. Did it encourage jobs to go to Mexico? Not really. Those jobs were going before. Plus, lowering of the tariffs really didn't do that much to encourage the jobs to go there. They went there because of low labor, and some of them lower labor, and some of them have actually come back.
Good to see you. Thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you again soon. It's 10:35. We'll be back.